lift your name on high. You're the only one that is worthy of our praise. And as the kids are leaving out to head to their classroom, along with the teachers, if you would this morning stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading in verse 15, John chapter 3, verse 15 through 21. John chapter 3, verse 15 through 21. If you're ready to hear from the Lord this morning, can you say, I'm ready?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read His Word. Verse 15 says that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. Brother Ray, that's why the truth never needs defending, because it's exposed in the light. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Father, may you bless the reading of your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have an opportunity to share God's word with you today. And we know, let me just get this out front. Let me just go ahead and share this. That's the way I am. I'm an upfront person. This day is shrouded, covered, seems to be, by the death of one of our youth. And we know that that's a fact. That's life. That's God. And so today, just by saying that up front, our hearts are stirred. Our hearts are heavy. Mine is. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven who sits on the throne, and heaven is not shaken. So this morning, I'm compelled. I can't do anything else but this. I want to challenge you with Jesus. Because anytime you're faced with the reality of burying one of your youth, of burying a grandson or a son or a nephew or a niece, or a mama, or a daddy, the reality of Jesus is strong. Because it's the strength. That's what we draw on as Christians. That's where we should abide at. And a lot of times it takes a tragedy like this to push aside the busyness and the things that seem to engulf us, that we don't have time for God, and God pulls back on the reins and He says, whoa, wait a minute. Let me realign you to where you need to be. So this morning I'm doing some realigning. I want to challenge your hearts. And I know we're faced with some time restraints this morning. And Jay came up to me and he hugged me just as tight as and sincerely as possible. And he said, you know, we've got a busy day, because he knows me. And I said, brother, you don't have to be concerned. You don't have to be worried. I've got 2 points. Jonathan, it'll drive him crazy at seminary. I've got 2 points to my message today. But point number 2 has 12 subpoints. So don't get too excited. two Sundays ago, stood here in the front with Jordan. And this morning is not going to be a funeral message, okay? I'm just using this as an illustration to bring a point to you. I presented him with a Oswald Chambers daily devotion. Those daily devotionals are like our daily breads. They're short, they're quick. And students that are going to school, and that was one of Jordan's ambitions, is to head off to college. I've been there and I've done that, and I know how your time is so heavily divided, and those devotions are powerful and those devotions are good. And it was a gift that was given to him. It was given by a lot of the seniors this year. And I was reminded of that gift that was given to him, and he opened that gift. And I know Christy had caught him outside and said, look, I want to show you a couple of things. And Christy went through the book and was showing him things that how it is date organized, and how he can go to a specific date, doesn't matter what year, and he could follow along, and how it can challenge him. And it's just one verse and then Oswald Chambers' commentary on that verse, maybe two paragraphs, three paragraphs, something along those lines. And it can, if you start your day with that, boy, it's just like a spoonful of sugar. It makes the day go down a lot easier, no matter what comes along. So he took that gift and he opened that gift, and had a very short time to use that gift. Have you ever heard somebody say at a birthday or at Christmas, we try to compliment each other, especially at Christmas time, because that's when we really frou-frou the gifts up. You ever heard the statement before, that's too pretty to open? That is a beautiful gift. I don't want to open it. I've even seen people take the presents that look beautiful and they try to unwrap it without tearing the paper. Now, I was pretty good at that when I was a kid at Christmas time. Be able to just open one end. I'll never forget the time the paper tore. Another story for another illustration. But people unwrap the presents to try to salvage the paper because the gift looks so good. And a lot of times, there's all different levels to that. A lot of times, to the greatest extent, I've seen people set a present on their table thinking they know what's inside the present, but because of what looks good on the outside, they leave it there because it's so beautiful. Number one, Christian, I want to challenge you this morning. Some of you here this morning have received a gift called eternal life. His name is Jesus. And I'm so glad. I am so happy that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you close your eyes in this life, the Bible says you open your eyes in the presence of the Lord. But for us Christians, a lot of times we take this beautiful gift called Jesus. We've received the gift, and we've taken it, and we've set it on the kitchen table in our heart. We haven't gone any deeper or any farther or gotten any holier than just that. Are you saved? You better believe it. Do you know Jesus? Yes, sir. Are you at church every Sunday? I'm there. Brother Wilton, you're starting to get a little rough. Well, when it comes to burying some of my youth, I get rough. Because reality stares you in the face here in just about 2 hours. And it's time for some of you adults to step up. Because your walk of holiness is turning some of these kids in a direction they don't need to go. It's sending confusing messages. It's telling them that it's okay to live with one foot in the world and one foot out of the world. To try to live holy, but at the same time keep doing the things of this world. And the Bible says, and we're going to see this in just a minute, and we just read it a while ago, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness. So what fellowship, Christian, does light have with darkness? It doesn't. So I hope and I pray this morning that God challenges your heart with the gift that I want to talk to you about. That goes greater than just a birthday present. It goes greater than just a Christmas present. It's greater than an anniversary gift. I don't care how many gold, silver, platinum, or anniversaries you've had. Praise the Lord for that. But I want to talk to you a gift that is, talk to you about a gift that is greater than any gift that you can ever receive. And it goes beyond just receiving the gift and then just setting it in the heart of your life and not doing anything else with it. John Randalls was an evangelist that was here not long ago. And he likes to use a lot of sports analogies. And one of the things that he said that just rung my bell, because I do like sports. He said, we have a lot of Christians that make it to first base, which is the base of salvation, and they've been standing on first base for 30 years. Do they go to church? Yes, sir. Do they love Jesus? Yeah. But they won't go any further than that. 2 points this morning and I'm done. John chapter 3 verse 16. Look at that verse with me if you will. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is the present that God wants to give you? Everlasting life. Jesus. Jesus is life. Jesus is the everlasting life. So when you say everlasting life, you're just saying another word for Jesus. And when you say Jesus, you're saying another word for everlasting life. What is this present that God wants to give you? Eternal life. Why does God want to give you that? What is God's motivation for wanting to give you that? Its source. This eternal life that God wants to give you, its source is from the sovereign God of this universe. Started not to use that word, but this is a sermon this morning of confirmation and explanation to you. Sovereign is a word that is a church word. Sovereign God. Do you understand this morning that the word sovereign God means that eternal life that God wants to give you this morning, it comes from an unlimited, powerful God. That's what sovereign means. It is unlimited. God is unlimited in His power. That means that no matter what sin that you've committed, God has overcome it. And not only is He such a big God that can overcome your sin, but my sin, and your 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 sin. And not just in this generation, but past generations and future generations. I can't completely understand that. But you know what? Man, I receive it. And I believe it. That I know that Jesus gave me a gift called eternal life through His Son. What is God's motivation for the gift? Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that it's love. That God committed His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there's a motivation there that God says that the reason why my Son died on the cross for you, the only reason, the greatest reason of all, but really the only reason is love. I love you. God says that over and over and over throughout all eternity. I love you. I love you so much that none should perish if they come to Jesus. None should be separated from God for an eternity unless they come to Christ. The recipients are all humans who will accept this free gift. The purpose is to save us from an eternal separation from God. And the duration of this gift, Ms. Robbie, it's timeless. The duration of this gift is timeless. It's eternal. Why? Because we have a sovereign God who is all powerful and can overcome anything, not only in your life, but the person sitting in front of you, behind you. He died for all sin. Many people can quote John 3:16, but have little understanding of how its message can transform their life. Remaining ignorant about the deeper blessings of our salvation is like receiving a beautifully wrapped gift and seeing it unopened for the sake of its appearance. Do you know that there are a lot of people that are in churches, in this town, in this city, in this state? Well, of course, not in this church. But there are a lot of people that come to church just for appearance, just to be seen, just for it's good business. I want to warn you this morning, that's dangerous. Because we have a God that's all powerful, that says, I love you, and my son died for you, and I want you to receive the free gift of eternal life. But it's not a game. The family of God is not a social club. The family of God is not a civic organization. The family of God is a living, breathing organism called Jesus. And we all make up the head, the feet, the hands. We all make up the body of Christ. We, as Christians, are the hands and feet of Jesus now. Jesus told his disciples that I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm also, while I'm doing that, I'm going to send one that's going to come after me, and it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works through me, and the Holy Spirit works through you, and you, and you, and you. Why? Because Jesus, in the body of flesh, in his earth suit, if you will, Jesus in the form of man is no longer here to minister. And by God's design, Christian, by God's design, you now have the responsibility to share this gift with other people. Why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we living like that? You have something that is invaluable living inside of you if you're a Christian here today. You have something living inside of you that money cannot buy. You have something living inside of you that you can't even put a price tag on because it's priceless. And it should motivate us. It should motivate you to live to please Him and to live so that Christ in you can shine through others. Brother Charlie, it's what motivates us to go all over the world, not just in the Philippines, to go everywhere, to throw a hook in the water called a medical missions just to get somebody's attention so that you can tell them about Jesus. Hours upon hours, preparation and preparing for mission trips. Why? Just to go share this love. And we as individuals and as Christians also should be spending hours upon hours preparing, digging, going deeper into this Word to be who God's called us to be that example that God wants us to be that witness that God wants us to witness about. Instead of just taking the gift of salvation in Jesus and putting it on the table and saying, I'm not going to fully open the present. I receive it, but I don't want to go any further than that. Because God might ask me to do something that I'm not comfortable about doing. But you know what? You can trust Him. That's one of the things I wrote in all those seniors' books. In the very front, I wrote, trust in Him. Proverbs 3, my life's verse. Verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Sometimes it doesn't make sense what God wants you to do. But in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Amen. Remaining ignorant about the deeper blessings of our salvation is like receiving a beautifully wrapped gift and leaving it unopened for the sake of its appearance. And when this happens, becoming a child of God is seen as merely a guarantee of heaven. Your fire insurance. Is there anything wrong with wanting to go to heaven? Absolutely not. But when God means nothing more to you than just that, I want to challenge you to open the gift. Tear into it like my kids do at Christmas time. They tear into the cardboard box. They go through the paper. They tear into the cardboard box. And they... Josh almost snapped a present in two. I mean, just went straight through the paper of the box, dove right into it. And pull one of his presents out last year. And man, those things got all those twist ties all over them. I almost snapped a present in two. And all he would do was just scream, "Yes! Yes!" You know what we need this day and time? With the reality of what's staring us in the face in just a few hours? We need a bunch of Christians who are willing to go beyond just a wrapped present sitting on a table and slam our hearts deep past the paper, deep into the center of the box, and pull out the goodness of the present and hold it up to a world, to a bunch of students that are confused and are hurting, and say, "Yes, yes, yes. This is the answer. This is the peace that passes all understanding. This is what will take the confusion and give you order." What is this present? It's eternal life in Jesus. Secondly, what does the gift of salvation include? Write these down. What does the gift of salvation include? Verse 18. Look at verse 18 with me, if you will. "He who believes in Him, Jesus, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Okay, Brother Wilton, you've got my attention. I understand that God wants to give me a gift. What's in the box? I've got 12 things. Hold on, here they are. Number one, God Himself is in the box, is in the eternal life. When the Father sent His Son to earth, Jesus, God came to dwell in human flesh. When we call this mystery, the incarnation. Jesus, who was fully God, lived a sinless life, yet He was also 100% human. So He knew temptation. He experienced hunger, thirst, heat, fatigue, and the list goes on and on and on. God in the flesh, incarnation. God revealed in a man named Jesus, in flesh, who came and lived a perfect sinless life. Why did he do that? Well, we said earlier, it's love. But friend, you're here this morning and you're not completely understanding this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God says, "You have a problem. And that problem is separation from Me." The Bible says that without Jesus, you're spiritually dead. The Bible says that your heart is filled with darkness because you are a sinner and you're separated from Him. So when God Himself says, "I want to put Myself at the top of the list," and when you receive this gift, this free gift called eternal life, you get Me. Now, what do we say about sovereign God? That He has unlimited power. Now, if that God who has unlimited power, I cannot explain it other than this, that by way of the Holy Spirit, God Himself comes and lives inside of you. That verse that says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world, should mean more to you this morning than it ever has. Because all-powerful God lives inside of you. And that power is there for you to tap into if you'll just do it. How? One of the greatest things that we can do to tap into God's power is prayer. It's to pray. So my question to you this morning, how's your prayer life? Is it just now I lay me down to sleep? God is great, God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. Because I don't know about y'all, but a time like this and a day like this, God is great, God is good. It's not good enough for me. My prayers and my crying out and my groaning has to go much deeper than that. Church family, that's what I'm talking about this morning. That our hearts need to be plunged deep into God's Word. And we pull out the goodness of God, the strength of God. Because on a day like this, just having a pretty gift sitting on the table isn't enough. Number two, the Savior's in the box, or in the gift. Angels who announced Jesus' birth said, today in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Why do we need Christ, the Messiah? Jesus rescues us from an eternity in hell, where we'd be separated from God in our sin if He had not came and died for us. Now, you have an option. This morning, you have an option. There are two ways. It's that simple. With Jesus or without Jesus? Do you know Him this morning? Number three, the pardon of sin is in the gift. Those who place their trust in Jesus receive mercy instead of punishment. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. We accept His death on the cross as payment for our wrongdoing. I want you to fully understand pardon for sin. Pardon for sin. That is not a plural word, sins. If I had a tea picture up here, picture, not a photograph, but a picture, put tea in. And I want to, in your mind, if you would, just imagine a tea picture sitting here, and it's black, and it's empty. God says, that's your heart without Jesus. Darkness engulfs you, and you're empty. You're dead spiritually. But God's Word says that we receive a pardon for our sin. You were conceived in sin. You have a sin nature. I believe that the Bible is clear that as children, there's an age of accountability. That when they come to know and realize that they are sinning, at that point, they are held accountable for that sin nature. Up until that point, I believe if a child passes away without understanding that they are found safely in the arms of Jesus. Another message for another time. But at this point in time, we receive a pardon for our sin. So the Bible says, in this illustration, I'm going to take this picture that is painted jet black, that's got sinner wrote across it, that is empty, and I'm going to set it under the counter here, and I'm going to pull out another picture, and it's crystal clear, and it's filled with the coolest, clearest, sweetest tea you've ever seen. Chicken Express has nothing on this tea. And it's filled to overflowing. And God says that your pardon of sin is because of your sin state, not because you've committed sin. That's a result of being a sinner. So you've received a pardon. You have a problem. You are a sinner. So you have a pardon for your sins. Some people receive the pardon and keep going right on committing crimes as a Christian. Point number four runs hand in hand with that. In this eternal life is, secondly, continued forgiveness. Number four is continued forgiveness. All of us will at some times disobey God after salvation. Amen? And if you didn't say amen, you're lying. Okay? Thankfully, that doesn't cost us our salvation. We quote 1 John 1:9 all the time. If we're faithful and just to ask forgiveness of our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thankfully, God is a God of forgiveness. That we have an audience with God, that we get continued forgiveness. Continued forgiveness is different than receiving a pardon for sin. So many times I've seen over and over and over, and it maybe even Brother Robert has seen it in court, the same person appear over and over and over in court. Seen it on TV, over and over and over. People commit, oh, I'm sorry for the crime I committed. I'm sorry for the crime I committed. But it's a matter of changing the heart. They've never received a person who continually sins, and it's a matter of the heart, hear what I'm saying, a person who continually sins over and over and has never received an initial pardon for being a sinner as a person that's not saved. That's what's so confusing this day and time. Understand what I'm saying, church family. That's what's so confusing, because a person that is saved, that continues to sin in the same sin over and over and over, you can be set free from that. You don't have to live in that sin continually. There's victory that can be found, that greater is He that is in you, that is greater than anything that tempts you and pulls you away from your walk in this world. You have to sink your heart deep into the present. Quit sending confusing signals to everyone around you on whether you're saved, whether you're lost, whether you're living for Jesus, whether you're not living for Jesus. Are we going to fall to temptation? Sure we are. Yes, and thankfully God is a God of forgiveness. But it's a matter of the heart and whether you've received the pardon. Because I believe if we're truly, truly, truly trusting in Him, that we're not going to continue over and over and over in a sin. You're going to truly seek God out. You're going to truly do what you can to get forgiveness over that sin. One of the main things that, and I wanted to read this to you, Chris, if you could put John 10, verse 27 through 29. Turn in your Bibles to that. John 10, verse 27 through 29. I want to address something that a lot of times is very controversial. Not only outside the church, but inside your heart. And a lot of times it's controversial with these students that I minister to. Wilton, that kid can't be saved. Look at the way they're acting. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Have they received the pardon, or are they struggling with sin? Have they received the pardon, and they know Christ, and they're struggling with rebellion? Where are they at? And the kids turn around and look at y'all and say, where are y'all at? Look with me, if you will, in verse 27. Keep in mind, we're on number four, continued forgiveness. Thankfully, the sin, once we receive the pardon, thankfully, we can ask for forgiveness of our sin, and it doesn't cost us our salvation. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. Amen. And they will never perish. Amen. And no one will snatch them out of my hands. If you don't have that highlighted, you need to highlight that in your Bible. Verse 29, my Father That's Jesus' authority, verse 28. It's backed up by the sovereign God, unlimited, powerful God the Father. Verse 29 says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands." So I like to look at it like this. I don't know, what's this in my pocket? Fingernail clippers. Guitar player, got my clippers. Let's just say that this is you as a Christian. Okay? This is Jesus' hands. This is God's hand. Nothing can ever take you out of God's hands. Nothing. If you have received the pardon, nothing can ever take you out of God and Jesus' hands. Because you're safely coupled in protection by God and the salvation of Jesus Christ. Do you know Him this morning? Number five, access to the Father is also in eternal life. If you're a believer and you don't know or you don't have to go to anyone to fellowship with God. If you're a believer, you don't have to go through anyone to fellowship with God. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 says this, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split." I don't have time to get into this to any depth, but to tell you this. The veil of the temple is what separated man from God. Let me say it like that. Inside the temple was the holiest of holies. And there was a huge veil. Some say it was 40 feet, some say it was 60 feet. It was real tall. And the priest was the only one that could enter into the holiest of holies. The day that Jesus was crucified on the cross for my sins, because I don't know where you stand, I'm going to say my sins because I know that I know Him. He's my Lord and He's my Savior. The veil of the temple, someone who used to have to go in and plead for forgiveness of our sins, make atonement, if you will, for our sins. The priest who would go in to do that. The veil of the temple at the day of Jesus' death. The veil of the temple, according to Scripture, it was ripped from the bottom to the top. Thank you. Who said no? Raise your hand. Thank you. It wasn't ripped from bottom to top. I think God Himself reached down from heaven and He said, "Now my people have an audience of one." That veil was ripped from the top. There's no way a man could have got up there. God Himself said, "No more separation. My Son is enough." And you now, by prayer, within your heart, can go in to the holiest of holies. You can go further than that. I can go to the very throne of God. You can go further than that. I believe, just as I did with my daddy, that I can crawl right up in God's lap within my heart. And family, I can tell Him how much I'm hurting. Because He knows it. And God, by way of His Spirit, because He loves me and gave Himself for me, He wraps His arms around me. And He said, "Child of mine, don't fret." And He gives me strength. And He gives me courage. And He gives me everything that I need to press on and to press through. Is it easy? No. But there's a strength that words can't describe. There's a peace, according to Scripture, that says it passes all understanding. Can't wrap my mind around it. I can feel it. I can sense it within my heart. "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 tells us to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Did you come here this morning with a need? Did you come here this morning with something weighing you down so heavily that you don't know where to turn? Let me tell you where to turn. Turn to Jesus. Trust Him. Number 6. In that gift, you also have a personal relationship with God. Not only do we have access to the Father, we can also have intimate fellowship with Him. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one. And if you see me, you've seen the Father." Because of Christ's sacrifice, we are accepted by God and can fellowship with Him. Number 7. In this gift called eternal life, we get the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. His indwelling presence is a guarantee of the promise that one day we will be with the Lord forever. His indwelling presence living in me is a guarantee of the promise that one day we will be with the Lord in heaven. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13 and 14. As a student minister, I get that all the time. As just a minister from adults, I get that all the time. How do I know, Brother Wilton? How do I know that I'm going to heaven? Ephesians chapter 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. That the Holy Spirit Himself will bear witness with you that you're a child of His. So many times I get that over and over, right before someone is saved. They're about to have, I've seen people almost have anxiety attacks. God's dealing with them so heavily. How do I know? I said, just trust Him. How do I know? But I can really know. I said, just trust Him. Jesus is here, and He wants to live in your heart if you'll just trust Him. And they'll pray. And they'll confess to God with their mouth, according to Scripture, I'm a sinner. And God, I'm lost. And God, I need your Son, Jesus. And I receive that free gift of eternal life in my heart. God, save me. And I have failed after 20 years of ministry. 100% of the time, I ask that person after they pray and receive their pardon for their sin. I ask that person, I said, can I ask you one question? They said, ask. I said, where's Jesus at now? Every time they say, He's right here. I said, how do you know? I just know. One boy told me one night, said, it feels like my chest is going to explode. I'm so full. And I said, are you going to heaven? Oh, no doubt. I know. I said, what's the difference between 3 minutes ago and now? 3 minutes ago, you were having an anxiety attack, not knowing whether you were going to go to heaven, and now your life is filled with the goodness of God, a gift that is more than just wrapped sitting on a table. All of these things are just flowing through His heart and His life, and the burden of sin, He's received the pardon. It's been lifted off of Him. I said, what's the difference? And 3 minutes ago and now. 3 minutes ago you didn't know if you were going to heaven. Now you do. Why? Jesus. That's all He would say. Jesus. Do you know Him this morning? Number 8. The Good Shepherd is in this eternal life. Jesus is our shepherd. Christ loves and cares for you and me individually and unconditionally and compassionately. We can have confidence that despite our sin, God does not disown us. The Good Shepherd to me says this, God's our protector. There's so many things about shepherds back during the Bible days. And just one example comes to mind, and I don't want to get into a whole lot of this for the sake of time. But one of the things the shepherd would do for the sheep in protecting them, oh, they're constantly just eating, just on the ground. Worse than a cow, just walking and grazing. Except that I think they're worse than that. They Sheep, a lot of times, just dig right into the dirt and just keep right on going to China if you don't watch them. They're just eating, 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 eating. And the lands where these things were raised, there were holes that snakes would burrow down into. And snakes would burrow down in and make their home and lay their eggs and more snakes. The snakes were deadly to those things, and they would go around eating, just munching, 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 oblivious to the fact that they're around a hole where maybe even a den of snakes might live. And at any moment, any given time, snake pop out of the hole and bite the sheep in the face, on the nose. And one of the things I read about the shepherds is there was an ointment that they would put on the nose of those sheep, a repellent, if you will. And they knew that it would repel the snakes. And they would rub the stuff on the nose of those sheep. And as they would breathe and eat, they just did what they knew what to do. And just keep their head down, breathe, and eat. And just eat away. And they would blow that repellent down in the holes, and the snakes would leave them alone. Why? Because the good shepherd takes care of those whom he loves. Have you accessed that part of the gift this morning, the good shepherd, as your protector? He's just a call away. He's just a prayer away. Number 9, an intercessor. Jesus ascended to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the God where he intercedes for us. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says, therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Friend, we have Jesus himself sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. Continually. When I sin and mess up, am I condemned and lose my salvation? Absolutely not. We've done read two scriptures that have confirmed that when we receive the pardon for our sin, when we truly give our heart to Christ and we're not playing games or we're not doing it just to shut our family up or doing it so the youth group will leave me alone or doing it because mom and daddy will leave me alone or doing it, we're doing it because we realize that we're a sinner separated from a holy God. When we do that, the Bible says that we have an intercessor, a helper, that sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes on our behalf. More, I believe, than just to not condemn us for our sin. But I believe that Jesus intercedes on our behalf in all areas, good and bad. I believe that Jesus intercedes on our behalf and says, I see a business that's being devoted to you, God. Jay. And Jesus intercedes on our behalf for God the Father and says, God bless it. I see a worker that is working at Owens that stands for Jesus. And God, Jesus intercedes on his behalf and says, God bless him with a raise. Bless him with a promotion. And I don't think God is a God of... I believe God is a God of prosperity. But I don't think we need to serve him just for that. Because his love is much deeper. His love is much broader, much wider. But I believe Jesus is there interceding on our behalf more than just for sin. It goes much deeper than that. Do you know him? Number 10, this eternal life gives us a friend, Jesus. Christ is a faithful, loyal, devoted, trustworthy friend. He is able in times of need and heartache as well as in sessions or seasons of rejoicing and celebration. Although Jesus understands we won't attain perfection in this life, he wants our sincerity, our commitment, and our obedience. That's one thing that I want from a friend. I want somebody who's going to be sincere with me. I want somebody who's not going to lie to me. I want somebody who's going to be there in the good times and the bad times. And all of these descriptions are what Jesus is, a friend. But a lot of times we take that friend and we leave it in a box, wrap nice and pretty, and say, oh, that's pretty. or we don't pray to Him, we don't access, we don't walk with Him like He's a friend. We don't treat Him like He's a friend. A lot of times we have to reintroduce ourselves to God when we pray. It's been so long since our knees have hit the floor. God, it's me, Wilton McMorris. I was saved back in 1973. You might need to look me up in your records, but God, I'm there. What a tragedy for us as a church family if we neglect the day-to-day fellowship with God. That's one of the, to me, one of the greatest aspects, greatest attributes of the thing called salvation that we have that we put aside. And it takes something like what we're dealing with today to remind us that, hey, God's there. And God desires intimate fellowship with you. The last two, I'm just going to touch briefly and I'm done. Number 11 and number 12 are in this eternal life or in this gift. A resurrected body and an eternal home. None of us at this point in time can access those two things. A resurrected body is going to be called by God Himself. An eternal home, for us, we're still here. We're strangers in a strange land. My heart's already there. How about yours? My heart's already there, but God says there's work for you to do. There's work for me to do. You're my hands, church. You're my feet. Go and tell your neighbor. Go and tell the uttermost parts of the world that I am your Lord, I'm your Savior, and I'm your King. But until that time comes, those two things, even though we haven't yet experienced them, are in the gift. So with those two questions this morning, what is this present called eternal life? And what does this gift of salvation include? I hope this morning that I've been able to explain to you a little bit deeper this thing called eternal life, because it's not a game. Christian, it goes deeper than just an unopened present sitting on the kitchen table. Have you experienced the depths of the gift of eternal life? Live holy, for He is holy. And question number two, the greatest of all questions, is do you know Him? Do you have the gift? Have you received the pardon? How do I receive that? The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, by praying. I thought about Iris Ballou, an evangelism team that comes by here, and an invitation time, old Big Blue's up in the pulpit, just telling how Jesus has taken him from the guttermost to the uttermost. And when her husband got finished preaching and was given the invitation, Iris is so passionate about people knowing Jesus and living for Jesus once they receive the free gift of eternal life, she's up and down the aisles at invitation time. People are just singing away. She'll walk up to you and she'll put her arm around you and she'll say, do you know Him? Tears rolling down her face. She said, do you know Him? Jonathan, do you know Him? Jay, do you know Him? Have you received the pardon? Brother Larry, do you know Him? Miss Patty, do you know Him? Donnie, do you know Him? Miss Iris just walks through, puts her arm with the love of Jesus. Miss Sherry, do you know Him? Walks through the whole congregation. Man, if I could, with what I'm facing today, If I could, I'd stop every one of you if I had enough time. Because it's that, it burns in my heart that much to stop every one of you and ask you, do you know Him? Do you know Jesus? Have you given your heart to Him? Nate, have you given your heart to Jesus? Ian, have you given your heart to Jesus? Paul, do you know Him? It's like, Wilton, you're asking all the staff members. You better believe it. You're asking a seminary student. You better believe it. I don't know what's hard. I can only ask. Brother Charlie, do you know Him? Oh, you would ask Brother Charlie? Better believe it. Do you know Him this morning? He's just one prayer away. Father, in the name of Jesus, this invitation time is yours. God, as Christians today, we need to be on our faces before You. God, as Christians, we need to be putting our arms around some of these students who I've seen last night, some here and some not here. God, that are hurting deeper than they've ever hurt before. God, if You so lead, I pray that Christians would, out of the love of Jesus, love up on them this morning. Father, if there are hearts that need to be gotten right with You, that God, Christians here today that aren't walking with You or living in defeat of sin, God, today's the day. Today's the day that can be set free. God, give them the strength and the courage to come forward and go deeper in that gift than they've ever gone before. That they can do like Josh did and drive his hand right down through the top of the box and grab a hold of all the goodness that's inside and rip it out. And just scream to the top of their lungs, yes, 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 I've been set free. And Father, most of all, if there's someone here today who's never trusted Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, I pray their eyes have been opened today. And God, that they realize that they're a sinner by nature, and that separates us from God. And the answer is Jesus. God, I pray that we could trust Him this morning as our Savior. And God, that we could receive the free gift of eternal life that can only be found in Him. So Father, do Your work here this morning. God, these are Your people. And God, I know You love them. Help us to be obedient this morning in Jesus' name. As we stand to our feet,